You're listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. This is the final episode of Death at the Dragon Circus. Next week, we'll be starting on a brand new Fake Geek Girl Belladonna University serial. It's called The Bromances, and it features a short road trip and a long music festival, plus the usual witches and non-witches and feelings and shenanigans and friendship and music and all that sort of thing. But for now, Death at the Dragon Circus, part 6, in which Kurt already has a job. Just a heads up, this one's a bit more violent than usual. The shotgun discharged into the air because Brennan was on his back. Kurt couldn't see how badly the other man was wounded because he was too busy fighting the Naga. He got in 2 body blows with the hammers before she disarmed him on one side with a vicious twist. They were no good for close fighting, so he flung the other hammer away and went for her throat with his bare hands, squeezing the air out of her. Naga's shape flickered back to that of Inga, so he stabbed her in the side with his wrist stiletto and took some satisfaction from the blood that sprayed across the grass. Kurt was bleeding too. She'd got a knife of some kind into his upper thigh, but he pinned her wrists to prevent further damage. "Do you really want to die today to own a dragon?" he growled into the Naga's face, her own face again. "They smell bad, and they're hell to take care of." Blood blossomed on the Naga's lower lip. "Do you want to die today to protect someone else's dragons? Look at you, all domesticated as ever. You're never happy unless someone is telling you who to kill. Come work for me. We'll take all the dragons, and I'll buy you a collar and leash, all of your own." Kurt shoved himself off her, standing up. He saw Puck and Finn crowding around Brennan's fallen body and couldn't quite bring himself to check or ask if it was a body or if the gaffer was still alive. The Naga lay there, bruised and bloodied, laughing at him. He knew enough about her style not to count her out, not with the 3 blades she still had concealed in her sleeves, not with that look in her eye as she collected herself. "I have a job," he said calmly. "For once, I'm protecting something instead of wrecking it. You have nothing to offer me." He could see a crowd mobilizing in their general direction, in 2s and 3s gathering together, artists and crew and carnies, all approaching with caution. He saw Cato and Cicero, the Grip, Gripper and Grips, Magellan the Ringmaster, and Serendipity, the Queen of Costumes. Riff and his army of surly clowns, Inga, standing almost close enough to Riff to hold his hand. "If you think that, you're the same idiot you always were," breathed the Naga. "You're a weapon, not a person, just like me." Kurt knew she was going to change before she made the move. Danger awareness flooded his body all at once. The Naga shifted into her snake monster form, all muscles and scales and the stink of sulphur. Still better than the smell of enclosed dragons, actually. Spikes rose up on her arms. She could shoot them at her victim, Kurt remembered. She'd threatened to do it in bed once or twice, but he'd talked her out of it on the grounds that he couldn't do that thing to her with his mouth if he was perforated all over and bleeding to death. Yeah, on the whole, being the Naga's opponent was better than being her boyfriend. "I'll mount your head on my wall," the Naga howled, "with a bronze plaque. How the mighty hammer fell." Kurt kept his gaze steady on hers. He didn't want to let her know what he could see in his peripheral vision. Inga. His Inga. Moving lightly across the grass, picking up one heavy object and then another. "See," he said, his voice cracking only slightly. "That's the thing everyone always gets wrong about the dove and the hammer." The Naga gave him an odd look, her head tilting with curiosity. "Keep her distracted just a little longer." "Here," said Kurt, grinning through dry, blood-stained lips. "It's an easy mistake to make if you're not paying attention. It's not like we ever corrected people, but the truth is, I'm the dove." He had never seen a sight more beautiful than that of his sister, Inga Frostad, rising up behind the 8-foot snake monster with a tent peg hammer in each of her hands and death in her eyes. "She's the hammer," he added helpfully, as Inga caved the bitch's head in and kept smashing until there was a mess of blood and brains smeared across the grass. Kurt leaned against the dragon pen and waited until Inga was done. She stepped daintily across the mess, handed the hammers to him, and turned to face the crowd. The circus folk stared back at her, at the blood and mess spattering her beautiful white satin and feathers leotard. Said Serendipity after a long moment, "We'd better make you one in black, too, won't show the stains." "Told you she had the core strength to flip both of us at once," said Cato, giving Cicero a shove. "You said she didn't have it in her." Riff was grinning through his grease paint, the first smile that Kurt had ever seen on a clown's face since he arrived. "Wanna go steady?" he asked Inga. She flicked a gob of snake flesh off her leotard. "I'll think about it." "Kurt, over here," called Finn. As sure as he could be that the circus folk were not about to run Inga out of town for being a violent killer, Kurt went over to where Puck and Finn were helping Brennan sit up. He had several blades impaled in his chest, but he was still breathing. "He wants you to get them out," said Puck, offended he wasn't allowed to do it himself. Kurt gave Brennan a look that was warmer than he had intended. "Yeah? I assume you have the most experience with extracting knives from people," Brennan said sarcastically. Kurt shrugged and glanced back at his sister. "He's not wrong, sunshine," Inga said, and then went back to making out publicly with Riff the Clown, because apparently that was a thing she did now. Kurt leaned over his boss to keep this particular exchange private. "Pride is one thing, but stupid is another," he said, in a very low voice. "Time to move the circus on. Candle isn't going to cool down for you any time soon, so you need to get your people the hell out of here." Brennan glared at him. "That was a suggestion, yes. Not the order it sounded like. Because I'm the gaffer." Kurt resisted the urge to kiss him on the forehead. Instead, he removed his belt. "You're the gaffer," he assured his boss, hanging over the length of leather. "Bite down on this. The next 5 minutes are going to be painful." "We're going with them," said Inga that night in their caravan. "On to the next town and the next. We are, aren't we?" Kurt didn't answer her. She smacked him lightly on the shoulder. "Talk to me." "They know who we are now. What we are." He didn't say were, because who were they kidding to pretend it was the past tense? Just because they're conditioned to accept weirdos into their little family doesn't mean they're going to be okay with it. Finn had been giving him uncertain looks, because she knew to be afraid of him now. Kurt hadn't realized how much he liked the little hero worship thing that the kid had going with him, until it was gone. "I'm tired of pretending to be Inga," his sister admitted. "I think this is the only way I can become her, a person, not a weapon. Cards on the table, all in, surrounded by people who know how far I've come, and like me anyway. Also, it's your chance to explore this whole clown fetish thing," Kurt said darkly. She smirked. "That too." "Come on, Kurt, let's run away with the circus." "One town," he conceded. "We'll get them safely to one more town. Maybe stick around a while, to make sure there are no more former assassins planning to demand dragons with menaces. Then we have our own future to build, Inga." "One town," she agreed, and smiled at him as if he'd promised her the moon. "Two towns," he grumbled. "That's my absolute limit." Inga laughed, and it was a good sound, a genuinely happy sound. There would be time enough to think about dragons and exit strategies and how to protect a whole circus from the big bad world. Right now, Kurt was content enough to lie back on his bunk and listen to the sound of his sister laughing at him. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can follow me on Twitter and Tumblr at TansyRR and at SheepMightFly, like my page on Facebook at TansyR Roberts, and sign up to my author newsletter by following the link in the show notes. So, as I said, next week, starting a new original serial, we're going back to Belladonna University for another instalment in the fake Geek Girl Magic Sharehouse shenanigans. So I will see you here next week for the bromances. Goodbye.